sleepyheads, get up, get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy.
Hello and welcome to this week's Robin Pod Weekly, which is brought to you in partnership with Budget Tyres Auto Centre, the only car specialist trusted by the players, club officials and supporters of Hull Kingston Rovers. And it's another bumper edition of the Robin Pod, as we have plenty of news, views and opinions to bring you, not least our discussion around the Robin's 36 points to 6 defeat at the hands of the Catalan Dragons. And there's been plenty of transfer activity over the last couple of days, with Hull Kingston Rovers front and centre of it. Joining me later on in the Robin Pod is regular Joe Appleyard, as he shares his thoughts and opinions on the Robin's defeat at the hands of the Catalan Dragons. And he gives his view on how the trip turned out for him, as he was over in the south of France for the game. And apologies, because my voice is somewhere between a 12-year-old choir boy and a gruff sailor, as I'm a bit under the weather. And you can hear it's a little bit croaky. So if it goes a little bit high or a little bit low throughout this Robin Pod, apologies. Big news for the Robins: Jack Broadbent incoming from the Castleford Tigers, with Corey Hall and Lewis Senior heading in the opposite direction down the M62. I caught with Ross Williams from Come On You Ford, Castleford Tigers podcast, to get his opinion on Jack Broadbent and to discuss the transfer in more detail. Welcome to this week's Robin Pod Weekly. Ross, you're the host of the Come On You Ford cast, Castleford Tigers unofficial podcast. How long has that been going now? It's quite a...
Just coming up to about a year, I think. Wow. I think I kicked it off in about May-ish, just as things were going particularly bleak last season when we needed a bit of a pick-me-up, I think. So, yeah, I'm about 10, 11 months in, so it's gone from strength to strength, so I'm buzzing with it, really.
Yeah, Castleford Tigers, we just mentioned there, aren't we? 8 players they've signed in 18 months from Hull Kingston Rovers, and an assistant head coach in Danny Maguire. Varying levels of success. The most recent acquisitions, Corey Hall and Lewis Senior, headed to Castleford on season-long loan deals. In return, the Robins have taken on Jack Broadbent, who will be signing a free deal once that loan deal ends come the end of the season. Obviously, we know Cass's situation, Ross. Where would you sum it up, though, where Cass are at the moment? Because we've seen them signing a few players. We know where they are in the league table. It's a bit of a funny season for the Tigers at the moment.
Yeah, I guess it's no secret that the kind of on-field stuff has almost taken a backseat a little bit, although the club will never admit that, and understandably so. You know, with the IMG looming and all that kind of stuff, it has very much, obviously, you've seen the seats in the ground, things like that. In the last few weeks, there's a little bit of box ticking going on. I think we always knew this season was going to be a bit tough. Obviously, last season was the same for different reasons. But, you know, we spoke to the club. The club were kind enough to come on my podcast before the season started and all that kind of thing. And it was very much all this talk of kind of 3 years and a rebuild and all that kind of stuff, and very much signing young and signing unproven, admittedly, in the hope of kind of building this kind of culture in this squad for the next 2 or 3 years, where clearly we've gone wrong in recruitment previously. I mean, that's the whole point of my podcast existing, really, was the original recruitment worries that have gone on since pretty much about 2018. But even last year, obviously, you Gareth Wood up to the world, and just the average age of the squad, something had to really change. And it did change, admittedly, this year. The average age went massively down, was a very different caliber of player in. The scratchy, I think that's without saying the obvious, they're incredibly scratchy, and there's a lot of things we need to work on. But it's a strange one, really, because as much as we've only picked up one win, I would say most Cass fans are happier this year than they were at this stage last season, just due to the performances and the effort and the determination levels and that kind of thing that's out there. So in terms of the league table, doesn't look great, but actually the fan base isn't in a terrible state at the moment, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, and there's something to be said, isn't there, about this season in terms of
the provisional IMG ratings and gradings and what the Super League makeup will be next season. Of course, we knew that London were pretty much nailed on to be going down unless there's some miraculous recovery and they somehow managed to win Super League. I don't think they'll be, they're definitely not going to be in Super League next year. And what Cass have done is almost own the fact of where they are, which is very different to, if you look across the river at that lot, our rivals, who seem to be in some kind of turmoil about where they actually are. You know, I think there's something to be said about owning the position that you're in. And I think that's what commands the fans' respect and keeps them on board. And I'm guessing with Cass, you know, you look at the crowds, you know, they're sticking with the side, even though the results might not be going the way. And I think that's probably the best way of going about it.
Absolutely. I think there's been, I think this has been lacking, to be fair, over the last few years, but I think certainly recently, a bit of that honesty and a bit of that transparency has come back to the club. And I think the connection with the fans at Cass went a little bit over the last few years, but that seems to be coming back. And I completely agree with you. It's that we know where we are and we are owning that, as you say. I think in terms of the IMG stuff, you know, there is still a slight possibility of grade A. It's not, which is ridiculous, really, when you think about the IMG grades, but it's not impossible if you just look at the handbook. But even so, there's a very realistic possibility of us at least getting kind of that 14 points, 14 and a half points. And I think at that point, if the club has obviously done everything they can off the field in order to get that, if for whatever reason that wasn't enough and we were in the 12 last year, I actually think the fan base would turn around and go, do you know what? Fair enough. You've done everything you can. And that's where it's at. And I think that's why the club is, the fan base, sorry, is sticking with, as I say, the crowds have been pretty good considering the results so far this year. Yeah, we are capped at 7.5 on Friday temporarily due to the new seats in the stand, but I reckon we'll get pretty close to 7.5 on Friday, which isn't an enormous crowd, but when it's London coming your way with no away fans, it's actually not a bad effort, that. And yeah, like I say, from the outside looking in, Cass can be a bit of a basket case, I know, but actually at the moment it's not too bad, to be honest. And I think the fact, obviously, we're making some recruitment moves now, not kind of resting the laurels on the pitch as well, is generally quite positive, and I think people latch on to that.
Yeah, Ross, as previously mentioned, Lewis Senior and Corey Hall are the 7th and 8th player, Hull Kingston Rovers player, to join Castleford in the past 18 months. Like we said, Jack Broadbent coming the other way down the M62. What have you made of that deal?
Yeah, I mean, on that, I think, I don't know if it's a sat-nav problem. We don't know, the M62 doesn't go the other way. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on with that, but there's various links between the clubs out there, and I guess that's why. The move's an interesting one. The move's a really, really interesting one. I think we had a little bit of a chat last week when the first kind of rumours started to circulate, and it came out of left field a little bit, this one, to be honest. And, you know, Broadbent's been great. I've got a lot of time for Brody. Obviously, he came in as a squad player, essentially, last year. But, you know, took every opportunity he had. Obviously, it was a terrible year for the club. Injuries and just players just being well off it. So he took every opportunity he could. Played centre, played fullback, halfback, even stuck in at hooker a little bit during games. He literally played all over the park last year. So I'd always commend him for that. And I think he had a real dig, and he deserved to take that 3 shirt this year. Admittedly, I think he's only played 2 or 3 games at centre, because again, he had to go in at fullback. But it's one of those scenarios where the rumours have been circulating for a while that he wasn't going to sign a new deal. Obviously, he was out of contract at the end of the year. And it's, we're not in a situation where we need to be spending over the odds for players of Jack Broadbent's ilk, if I'm being brutally honest with it. And I think if we'd have paid way above his value in order just to keep him at the club, I'm not sure that would have been the right move in terms of what we're trying to do. As I say, it's a 2-3 year project at the club. So I'm not overly upset with him moving on at this point. And I think the fact we're getting some value the other way before he simply just leaves to yourselves or whoever else at the end of the year, I'm actually kind of okay with that, to be honest.
Yeah, Willie Peters, he's commented on the signing of Jack Broadbent. He says, Jack's main strengths are his running game, along with his ability to play what he sees. Is that something you'd agree with?
I'd agree with that. I think his running game certainly is his kind of top attribute. He's got a step on him. He can find gaps. I think the kind of the problem with Broadbent, not, and problem's harsh, but again, it's been a kind of, he's kind of the victim of our situation for the last couple of years. I'm not sure his position. I'm not sure anyone's sure of his position, if I'm being honest. Like I say, he had the 3 shirt this year. Didn't massively impress me in the centre spots in the first few weeks of the season. I know it's a tough gig at our place at the moment, but there was the Warrington game. I think we played in week 3. That right edge was ripped apart really defensively by Warrington that day. And there has been a few question marks over his actual position. And I'd ask the question to you, to be honest, where do you kind of see Brobbick kind of fitting into your system? Because that's been the big surprise for me, really. The fact that the deal's happened so quickly is, I mean, I look at your side at the moment and he's certainly not a starter. And I'm not sure how far he'd actually be off that off that starting 13 for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, you know, I don't see him in the starting lineup whatsoever at the moment. You know, if you imagine the competition ahead of him is Tom Opacic, Oliver Gildart, and Petr Hiku, yeah. He's going to have to do a hell of a lot, isn't he, to displace them? You know, who knows, injuries. I mean, the situation with Corey Hall last season, similar time we signed him with Will Dagger going the other way to Wakefield. Corey Hall ended up having a run of games in the side because of injuries. So, you know, it's not to say that it's totally out of the question that it will feature in the first team. But whilst the other players maintain their fitness, he's not near that at the moment. But it gives Willie Peters the chance to get eyes on him, get him into the training setup and start moulding him into the player that he hopes he'll become. So I think it's work in progress. It's a shame that he's going to miss out on first team rugby league, certainly in Super League, whether we make use of our dual reg partnership with Featherstone, a side which he has been on loan to a number of times, you know, when you look back at his Leeds days. So I think there's a real opportunity for him to be still playing, probably more so in the Championship and at reserve grade level. But, you know, Rovers like to get their players in early. They like to do the business early. And for all parties concerned, you know, I think it's a smart move by the Robins. The fact that Corey Hall's going to be then going out to you on return, he's contracted until the end of next season with Robins, so it looks very much like he'll see the season out with Castleford and then come back to Rovers, which helps us undoubtedly because his opportunities to play are limited at the moment. He's featured twice for us in the season. He's played twice for Featherstone at centre. Interestingly, where do you think Corey Hall will line up for you? Because Willie Peters hasn't been afraid to give him a chance at second row this season.
I think it's certainly a needs must situation. I fully expect that Corey Hall and Lewis Senior will be the right edge this week on Friday. I think he'll go straight in at right centre. Particularly, obviously, I'm sure you've got your opinion on this fella as well, but obviously Tex Hoy came in on Saturday, which, you know, I mean, Jerry's certainly out, but he is a fullback at the very least, and that's more than we've got at the moment. So yeah, I think Corey Hall will play right centre for sure with Lewis Senior out there, and I think for the rest of the year that's fine. I think we're more than happy with that, to be honest. I think where we're at, and I don't think at this current stage in what we've seen out of Jack Broadbent so far this year, I don't think that's a massive downgrade in where we were at. Obviously we've been playing Josh Hodgson there while Broadbent's been playing at fullback anyway. I think for the sake of this year, it actually kind of works for us that this deal, certainly for the rest of the year. And actually, thinking about it, I think in terms of just their actual attributes, in terms of where they are as a centre, in terms of Jack Broadbent and Corey Hall, Corey Hall's a fair bit bigger, or certainly a fair bit taller. And if you kind of look at the rest of our back line now, obviously you've got the senior twins on the wings, Sam Wood's a big fella, obviously someone you know very well as well, who's been excellent, by the way. We've got quite a big back line now.
It's a shame you're not playing basketball, because if you was, I think you'd be.
But that's clearly something that's on purpose, you know. And I think people forget as well, obviously Lingard and Maguire came in officially kind of October time. It was quite late. So they've still not had their chance to put a real stamp on this team yet either. And I don't know their opinions on Jack Broadbent. You know what I mean? So it's one of those where actually they're trying to mould the team a little bit on the fly, because it is difficult at this stage of the year. So I'm willing to trust those guys, and hopefully that's the right call.
Yeah, some of the comments I've seen from Cas fans on social media, and don't get me wrong, social media is not always the best place to get a decent evaluation. But some of the comments being that Jack Broadbent's defensive game's a little bit suspect.
Possibly, again, it's a tough gig. I mean, he's had a lot of traffic going that way, naturally, with how we've been performing and the quality he's got around him. His size would be a little bit of a worry, I would say, at centre. I think the level, certainly you guys wouldn't be performing at for the next 2-3 years, kind of the top end of Super League as well. For me, like, it's hard as well, because he's 23. You know, there's a lot you can do with a 23-year-old player. You can mould him in certain ways. I think his size is a little bit of a concern, if I'm being honest, with some of the sizes of other centres around the league. He's not... I mean, we had one of the best defensive centres Super League's ever seen in Michael Shenton a few years ago. It's chalk and cheese in terms of that. He's got to work on it. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. And I suppose the caveat to that is, you know, unfortunately, when you're in a side that's struggling, you are exposed more. And
of course, yeah.
You know, and the fact that Willie Peters has brought him in is probably to get him, you know, training the Brett Delaney, who took a great responsibility for a lot of our defensive work. And you know, the Rovers have tightened up this season. It's been work in progress since Willie Peters have come in. But obviously, you know, like you said, he's no doubt he's a running centre who's got plenty of pace to burn. I suppose bringing him in at this stage is to work on that defensive side of his game and to help him through that. It does make a bit of a mockery, some of these signs, doesn't it, in terms of the May the 1st deadline for being able to negotiate our players. Because obviously, this three-year deal with Jack Broadbent, which was announced, which he'll be signing post the loan deal, this hasn't just been agreed over the last couple of days, has it? This has been work in motion for a while. And it is a big frustration for me that we're, you know, there's such a big build-up to the Super League campaign, the start of the season and getting games played. And we're not even at the 10-game mark yet. And we're already talking about next season. And I don't know, do you feel it makes a bit of a mockery of it?
I mean, yeah, we've known you're signing Tom Davis for about 3 months, haven't we?
I mean, allegedly.
It's that kind of thing, though, isn't it? It's the same every year. I completely agree. The May 1st is a fallacy, isn't it? I mean, it's not a real thing. I mean, even, to be honest, if I had to really read between the lines and have to show some common sense in terms of this deal as well, I do suspect Lewis Senior might have signed a deal for going on for Cass as well. Obviously, he's out of contract at the end of the year. We haven't announced any of our retentions for next year yet, so I don't think it necessarily matters that wasn't mentioned in the deal. Because that's the way we like to do things in marketing, things like that. But yeah, I mean, we've all heard the rumours about Wakefield, obviously yourselves. I mean, the Ryan Hall deal, even. I didn't realise that it was just if the clubs are okay with it, you can announce it. Like, okay.
Yeah, that seems to be a bit of a... Yeah, surely there's got to be some... just because both clubs agree, it doesn't mean that you can come and just... Yeah, yeah.
The point is you're not meant to speak. So it's... yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, and that, I mean, I don't want to go off on a tangent. That leads me to a wider point about how there seems to be a couple of agents who basically dictate where players end up in Super League. And you know, that's not their fault. That's their business. That, you know, they get paid by the more customers they have. But yeah, there seems to be a couple of agents who just basically are able to dictate or are almost act as like an agent for the club to make sure that player's moving on. One player was rumoured to be signing for Cass. Which is a bit of a left field one for me, was George King. Now, that's been poo-pooed by a few people, but there's still a bit of smoke around that one. Can you see that one happening?
The thing with that one is, I must admit, at the time, obviously we discussed this Thursday, wherever it was last week, and we were discussing it, and I said myself, that feels a bit lopsided in our direction. If that was to happen, if that was part of this deal, I'd feel like we'd fleeced you. If I'm being honest, if that had been part of this, I'm sure you'd agree. The only thing with the George King thing is, you know what rugby league's like, you know what the rumour mill's like, and you know I'll tighten it and small it is. For him to have been mentioned at the same time as everything else which has actually happened, I think there has to be something to it. Obviously, he's not been announced to Cass or anything like that, and there was even rumours of other clubs being involved, but I do suspect something has happened and conversations have happened. Whether it's going to be for next year, maybe, doesn't necessarily have to be for now. Obviously, you've got a massive name prop coming in next year as well. Whether there's cap ramifications, I don't know. You'll know better than me. But I would suspect there's something to that, even if it's not going to happen right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing with a salary cap sport. You know, it is a bit like a jigsaw puzzle. You need to move pieces around to shift people in or shift people out. So, you know.
And for what it's worth, I would love that move to happen because it's exactly what we need.
and that's why you'll see as well the reaction on social media to the alleged rumours that George King would be departing. I don't think one Rovers supporter was in favour of that deal happening whatsoever. So, yeah, let's see how that plays out over the next couple of weeks. Just a little bit of time on some of the former Robins who have played for Cass. Lewis Johnson, Rowan Milnes, Sam Wood. They were they were signed pre-season. One player was just departed as well, Albert Vette. I mean, nice guy. You know, I think he's well liked by the players, but just a player who's just He wasn't great at Rovers. He hasn't been great for you. And the fact one of your overseas players was actually loaned out to Doncaster probably just shows just the contribution he's made. And now he's obviously departed to make way for 10-style Texoy.
Yeah, on Vettey. I mean, yeah, it's a symptom of the poor recruitment we've had. And hopefully we've turned a bit of a corner on that. Again, it's a deal that was done previously before the new regime came in. But for a quota spot player, I wouldn't want to hazard a guess how much money he was on. He's played 10 games. And yeah. I wouldn't like to count the amount of minutes he's played in those 10 games, but it won't be an awful lot. And, you know, he seems a great bloke and all that, but you cannot carry a player like that. Because let's be honest, if anyone who looked at Cass over the last year, what have we lacked? It's size at the middle. We've lacked someone in that quota spot who can do the job for us. We're certainly lacking it now. And, you know, a fully firing prop on his kind of money in that quota spot, who could play every week and actually give you half an hour, 40 minutes, would have made a massive, massive difference to us. So that's just been a huge disappointment with Albert Vettey, sadly. And the club have clearly made the right call now in terms of moving him on.
Yeah. And then just lastly, Louis Johnson, Roy Milne, Sam Wood, how have they fitted into the side?
Yeah, I mean, Lewis Johnson, obviously, he came from our academy back in the day, and he's always had that kind of ability, I think. Again, he's one of them. I'd like him to be a little bit bigger, to be honest, the only thing with Lewis. But he's a squad player at the moment. I actually quite like him. I think he's currently out with a slight knock, but he don't let you down when he's out there. And I think he's someone I'd like to keep him around, to be honest with you. I think he's a good squad player. Not going to kind of rip up any trees. I don't think he's going to be an England player anytime soon, but you need those kind of players in your squad sometimes. Rome Milnes, it's weird to say this after a defeat, I know, but I thought he was very good on Friday against Wigan, and I actually think he's going to tie down that halfback spot. It was probably the signing we made I was most excited about, to be honest. I do like Rowan. I think gives something a little bit different to what we've had. I mean, we had a non-existent kicking game and non-existent attack basically last year, and immediately he's provided a little bit, creates a try on Friday, scores a try on Friday as well, does Rowan. I think we still need some work in the halfback department, maybe not so much him, but I think that's going to be a decent enough move down the stretch. And Sam Wood's been our signing of the year. He's the player that's probably impressed me the absolute most out of any lads we've had. He came with big raps from you guys. Everyone kind of spoke really, really highly of Sam Wood. No, Danny Maguire himself spoke very, very highly of him. He's been excellent. And I think if we can keep him fit, that left edge isn't looking too bad at all.
Joe, welcome to the Rowan Pod Weekly. And God, I don't know if you heard, but my voice nearly went there again. So you might have to take over hosting duties if it carries on like this.
Yeah, we're going to be back to 2021, aren't we? I'll be taking the reins.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you do a little bit of talking now, Joe. How have you recovered from Perpignan yet? I mean, not just the result, the trip as well.
Yeah, I haven't recovered yet. I've been working God knows how many hours since I got back. It was we had a laugh, you know. It wasn't the result, was it? We never would get a result there. I think you made a real good point. You said it can be whatever coach, whatever team, and Rovers just don't do it. But yeah, I think me and the lads, we had to go Barcelona that way. We wanted to do Lorette, but because of work issues with people getting time off and stuff like that, we had to do Barca and only went for 2 days. It was a little bit of a messing about, and I think we're all still feeling it. But yeah, it's what you do for the club, innit? But apart from the 80 minutes of rugby, we had a laugh. But yeah, God, I hate going to that place. I say it every year, I'm never going to go, and I always end up booking on. But if I never had to go to the Gilbert Brutus again, it wouldn't faze me.
Yeah, well, we'll come on to that and the upcoming game against the world champions on Friday night very soon. But wow, what a crazy few days in the world of rugby league, and in particular at Hull Kingston Rovers. I mean, it's like somebody's created a transfer window and a transfer deadline day, and it's all happened over the last couple of days. It's just, you know, not just at Rovers, but we've seen across Super League, haven't we? Mainly to do with the clubs towards the bottom of the league. Players left, right and centre have been moved about. Hull Kingston Rovers, have just talked to Ross about Jack Broadbent incoming, Corey Hall, Louis Senior outgoing. What's your opinion on the transfer?
I think it's a win-win, isn't it, for the Robins? I know we'll go on to speak about George King soon, but when the initial rumour of we're getting rid of Corey Hall and George King for Broadbent, I'm not going to lie, I was pretty peeved off. That would have been a lose-lose for me. But I think, let's be honest, Louis Senior, has he got a future at Hull Kingston Rovers? Probably not. Does Corey Hall? Yeah, he does for me. I like Corey. He's only 21. He seems like he's the kind of player that people are like, oh, he's not playing, so get rid of him and things like that. I think if you look at what happens in football, players get loaned all the time, and just because we sign someone straight away doesn't mean they're going to be in our team, you know, ASAP. He might go on loan for a few years and then break through. We've got a lot of options, aren't we, in the centre? I think I put a tweet out, didn't I, saying I think it's good for Louis because he's got a chance to land a full-time gig with the Tigers after this season. Corey Hall gets to play week in, week out. A Super League side, and then he'll come back to us. And Jack Broadbent, I know he ain't hit the straps probably this year, but I think last year you look at his highlight reel in a pretty bog standard cast team. You know, he scored a few tries against us. His try against Catalan will be remembered, that full lengther. He can play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And he's a great, you know, he's a great acquisition. He's only 23. It looks like Willie's going to mould him into what he wants, and he just adds three quarter depth, doesn't he? I think now he'll be ready to long-term stay at a club because, you know, he's been at Leeds, Featherstone, a few loan deals, hasn't he, as you mentioned there with Ross, and then, you know, moved to Castleford. But I'm happy about it. I think, you know, we get Broadbent in, Corey gets game time, and Louis Senior gets a chance to prove his worth elsewhere. So for me, I think Rovers have done a really good bit of business, and we'll see how he goes. Again, he's only 23. It's going to take time. He might only play 5-6 games this year. He might not. He might go to Featherstone and that, but it doesn't mean he ain't got a future at this club. And I feel like that's what a lot of the fans do need to realise at times. Just because Corey Hall's going out on loan doesn't mean it's the end of him in red and white. You know, he's got another year. He might really impress at Cass, and then we're on a winner there, right? We'll offer him another deal. We can prove that he's done it in Super League. He wants game time. So, yeah, I think you can't complain with that bit of business. And I think Cass will be happy, although they've lost a player. Let's be honest, he probably won't going to stay at Cass next season anyhow. Then they get a chance to have Corey Hall this year and probably sign Louis Senior. So, yeah, I think both parties will be happy. And Lingard and Willie Peters have, you know, done a bit of good business there for both teams.
Yeah, of course, when we signed Corey Hall, I mean, Willie Peters, pretty much as soon as we signed him, said he wasn't for the now, was he? He was one for the future. I mean, he did get that run of games due to the Robin Tarendis injury list that they suffered from at the time, and he did get 13 opportunities probably sooner than expected. But I don't know, I'm reading in between the lines, and to be honest, Joe, it doesn't always do me any favours doing that. But if you listen to Willie Peters' press conference that he did yesterday, he was very guarded on Corey Hall's future, and he sort of laboured the point that Corey wanted to play at centre, and obviously we've seen him tried out at second row, didn't we, at various points in pre-season and at the start of the season. I do wonder if, a little bit similar to how players have departed the club in the past, where they want to play, which is their right, and Corey Hall, for example, took his opportunity. But Willie Peters likes players to stay and fight for their place in the side, doesn't he? And I just wondered, with the comments he made, he didn't really allude to anything about him. Well, he's going to cast for the rest of the season, but when he comes back, he'll be better for it. There was none of that. So maybe I might be just reading between the lines wrongly, and Corey Hall's got a future at Hulkington Rovers, but I don't know. I'm a little bit suspect on that one.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? I mean, Willie's press conferences, you can't really take much from anyhow. He's very guarded, isn't he? He says stuff, you know, he's very good at playing with the media and stuff. But I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think not, but again, like you alluded to then, he does like his players who want to fight for it. But if he's saying, I want to go out on loan and I want to play centre, then let's flip that and go, do you know what? There's a kid who's standing up for himself here and going, I want to play centre for OKR, you know, all right, I'll go and prove my worth elsewhere, but, you know, then let's see what Corey Hall can do, because then he might be staking a claim for the next year or the year after. I know we've got plenty of centres on contracts and that, but that's the problem with having depth in it, and we've always spoke about this, and I think we've mentioned it on a previous podcast. It's great when you get it, but then the second a few players aren't getting in the team and everyone's going, oh no, he's going to leave, it's how you manage it. And especially with rugby league being such a short career, you know, these lads don't just want to sit around, they want to go and play. But I hope, for Rovers and Corey's sake, you know, I think he's got a future at the Robins, so let's see, hopefully he goes. Willie Peters can see what he's made of, and you know, we'll go from there. But I don't think there's no point jumping into the gun with anything, really. I think Louis Senior, you probably can, but yeah, I don't really take much from pressers sometimes, but we'll wait and see on that.
Yeah, I think Louis Senior is a definite. He won't be at the Robins next season. Of course, he's out of contract anyway, so he's literally playing for a deal elsewhere. And as Ross mentioned, he thinks he's already signed a deal with the Tigers for next season. I mean, just one more point on Corey Hall. Of course, if he does come back to the Robins at the end of the season and sees out the the final year of his contract, the competition for places is going to be even hotter based on the fact that Jack Broadbent's coming on a free deal once the loan deal at the end of the season finishes. So it's going to be, it's not easy for him, is it? But, you know, the best thing for Hull Kingston Rovers and Corey Hall is that he goes and has a stormer at the Castle for Tigers, and either he individually reaps the benefits or we as a club reap the benefits of it because he comes back a bigger, better, more experienced player.
Definitely, and I think it's really hard to picture what the there's no point saying what the team's going to be in the next few weeks, because I think if you go about 12 months and then compare it to the team now, it's completely different. Players can move on. Willie's been not afraid to get rid of quota players. Could that happen? Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying anything. I'm not in the loop anymore. But, you know, in my perfect world, I think we need to strengthen the other certain areas, and we might have too many cooks in that centre department. But we'll have to wait and see. It's Willie's call at the end of the day. And again, the thing is with Broadbent, he offers depth at fullback, you know, can cover for Niall Avalds, because you'd like to keep Ico in the centre, wouldn't you? A touch wood now gets through it this season unscathed. But you never know in rugby. He can play on the wing. Obviously, we know Ryan Hall's going, but then there's Tom Davies coming in. He can play in the halves, even though you've got three or four there. So, it's good to have the Jack Broadbent in. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. It'll be interesting to see when he makes his debut. I don't think it'll be this Friday, but yeah, we will have a plethora of options there. And obviously, you haven't even mentioned like Louis Gorman and that, who have got a big future at this club. And that's the beauty now. We've got a lot of young kids, a lot of young British kids as well, which is great to see in an area that we've probably lacked for a while. You've muted yourself, pal.
Hey there, Joe.
I'm back now. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear, mate. Yeah, we're just moving on to George King and right. His potential departure from the Robins.
I hope not. I don't get this. Well, like I said then, just before we cut it off for a little bit, I feel like we still need men in the pack. And I know we're signing Jared Warrior Hargreaves. I know there's been rumours of Jack Brown coming in from Hull, but we are getting rid of, you know, Matty Staunton looks like he's set to go to Wakey. You never know, you know, what happens to a Jesse Sue down the line. I know he's contracted. Yusuf Harding's obviously gone on loan to Hull, which we'll speak about soon. So has he got a future? For me, I think you need players like George King in. There's no reason with the money Rovers have got, and I feel like they've got this power board for a reason. I know it's all for a lot of it's to do with off the field and being sustainable, but a lot of it and the main part is being successful on the field. I don't think Alpac would benefit from getting rid of George King and just bringing someone else in, like a like for like. I think we can have more. I feel like we've got some good young kids as well, but they're not ready yet. And I understand that it's been brewing for a bit, hasn't it? You know, like this time last year when there was the Tyler Dupree saga that was going, oh, well, George King could be one of the exits because he lives in near Huddersfield or something like that. But for me, unless there's something in-house that we don't know about and we're probably never going to know about, I'd be very upset if George King, let's not forget, signed a long-term deal under Willie Peters not that long ago, gets to go to a West Yorkshire team or a Lancashire team and we just, you know, go, okay, you know, that's fine. We're moving players on now so we can get somebody else in. I know he hasn't
jumped up any trees at the start of this season, and he's had a bit of a lengthy injury. But this is still the bloke who carried a very average pack of the Corbin Sims era and Vetti era, and even going into 2023 was great again last season. You know, it doesn't make him a bad player just because he's had a few good games. And I've seen some comments from Rovers fans saying he's not the player he was. And, you know, come on, let's be serious now. He's had a tough start to the season, maybe didn't have the pre-season he wanted to, but people learn. And you only have to look at what he says about the fans and the club, and his actions were on the field, barring obviously Saturday, which was a disaster for all the pattern, but not just George King. For me, I'm not really a fan of it, and I won't be if it happens. I've spoke to a few people. Obviously, it just sounds like it's his agent at the minute, which I'm not a fan of as well. But there is no smoke without fire. And let's be honest, he wouldn't be short of suitors, would he? You've got player teams like Cass and, you know, even like at the bottom, like Salford, teams like that. But I feel like he's better than them. I feel like he needs to stay at us. And I'm a massive fan of him. And if he wants to go, then fair enough. It's the same as what happened with Frankie Alton. That if he doesn't want to be at the club, then that's absolutely fine. But for me, I don't really see that for his actions. And I like, you know, I like the prop, and I feel like we could build around a bit more in this forward area. But George King's in my plans. You know, he's got a 4-year deal, for God's sake, not long ago, like I've said. So hopefully it's all talk and it gets phased out. But again, in rugby league, we know more than most, don't we, mate? When stories start circulating and these rumours fly about, sometimes it does lead to the true story happening. So I really hope I'm wrong. I don't know what your thoughts on of it, but I wouldn't get it, mate. And if it does happen, I'd like to see a bit of transparency from the club instead of just not hiding, but just saying, oh, we thank George for his efforts. I'd like to ask, like, why has he gone? Are we bringing someone in? What's led to this? Is it good turns, bad turns? Because let's be honest, if it did happen, it would be a shock. And I feel like sometimes there is a lot of secrecy in sport and the fans never really get to see the true story. But in this case, if it did happen, it'd be good to know why.
Yeah, and I mean, not too much was made of it at the time, was it, Joe? But don't forget, George King was part of that Sheffield, that squad that faced the Sheffield Eagles. He was one of a handful of first-team players who was put into the side. And Willie Peters commented at the time, didn't he? He said that some players who were playing hadn't had a great pre-season. Some of them had. I wonder if George King fitted into that bracket in terms of players who haven't had a great off-season. Of course, he's got, you know, personal life situation. I think he's just had a... him and his missus have just had a new baby. You know, there's a whole raft of things behind the scenes going on, isn't there, that we are often not party to. All you'd assume is, though, if his management team, his agent, whoever, is shopping him round, he's not doing it behind George King's back, is he? So he must be doing it, you know, in full view of him. So, hey, you know, we say no smoke without fire, and obviously with all the transfer goings on at the moment, you know, it adds more credibility to the fact that he could potentially leave. All I'd say is, Joe, is that Willie and the management team at Hull Kingston Rovers seem to get it pretty spot on when it comes to transfer dealings. You know, I remember, like you said, Frankie Holton, the outcry about him departing. Well, really, has Frankie Holton gone on and pulled up any trees at Lee? Probably not. I mean, the most recent one, of course, was Reece Kennedy and Jai Whitbread, wasn't it? And there was a little bit of furore around letting Kennedy go and Whitbread coming in. And from what we've seen from Whitbread at the moment, it seems like it was a pretty shrewd bit of business. So I'm fully behind Willie Peters in whatever he does at the moment, Joe, although, you know, it would be sad to see George King go, because he's played such an important role for Hull Kingston Rovers over the last few years, and he is Mr. Dependable. And I'd wonder, Joe, and this is just my opinion, is the fact that he is maybe just a 7 out of 10 every game, does that sometimes maybe go against him, that he ain't able to pull up the trees that maybe we need some of our forwards to do?
I think you could say that, but you look at the forwards across the board and there's not many who are above a 7-8, you know, every single week. That'd be as good as a team Rovers are at the moment. I'd say our forward pack's still not up there with the top four, personally. I like I've probably said too many times already, that's where I want to invest in. I honestly think, you know, if we're being blunt about it, in my opinion, mate, if you got rid of someone like George King, you've signed Jack Broadbent, we've already spoke about a plethora of outside backs, we're going to be light in the pack, even bringing in a Jack Brown and JWH still, for my liking. If you look at like what how easy Catalan's pack dismantled us. In fact, if you're going to be brutally honest about it, you're probably going to start going, do you need Tom Opacek? Do you know what's people, stuff like that? Like, I know we don't really want to be talking about that, but in my opinion, if King left, I'd probably want to use my quota elsewhere. For me, I'd want Tom Amone from Lee or a big NRL prop. That's what I've got. That's what I'm looking at. I'm planning for the future if George King goes, because as much as we're bringing JWH over, he's not getting any younger. I think he's going to be great for us, and he's going to be so good for the young kids, and he's going to be up there, if not the best forward in the league. But he's 36. Will he only do one season? And I know we're only 8 games into 2023, but you've got to look at all these transfers now and you start going, well, if they are the rumours and Rovers aren't going to bring in loads and loads of players, you've got to be quite stubborn about it and go, you know what, we kind of don't need that area. We need this area. I hope it don't come to that. I mean, I'm not that saying I'd absolutely love Tom Amone to play for Rovers, but I mean, like, if George King goes, I'm just thinking now, is this the time where you're going, we're going to have to start investing the pack even more? Because we've seen so many times, I know it hasn't happened in the games that we've lost, but when we have been beating teams, as much as it's been Hicko and Burgess and their fancy tries and Avald's breaking through, it all stems from the forward pack winning the battle of the middle and that battle of attrition. But when you do lose the battle of attrition, you end up getting beat more times than not. So I just think you cannot have too many aggressive big forwards. And if King left and we brought in two and obviously Staunton left, I do think we'd still be a little bit light, because obviously the likes of Leo, Zach, I think they're definitely ones for the future. I've mentioned so many times, haven't I, about Middles getting 60, 70 games under the belt in the Championship in the early 20s before the Super League ready. I'll still hold that view, you know, for a long, long time. So it's a merry-go-round, isn't it, this? And I don't like speaking about it because you want to concentrate on the field, but this sells more than what's on the field at the moment, doesn't it? And there is no smoke without fire. So let's wait and see. I hope George King stays and we don't have to have these conversations, but you never know, do you? But he is in the 21 for Friday, so could it even be a case of he's going to go at the end of the season and then they've got more time to plan? I'm sure we'll find out more in the next few weeks.
Yeah, and it is silly season. I mean, one of the rumours was about Rovers potentially freeing up a quota spot to bring in David Clemmer, who's currently at the West Tigers, former Newcastle United player that Woody Peters knows very well. I reached out to Baz Tui, who works down in Newcastle for the Chronicle. He's actually the guy who confirmed that Rovers were in for Tyson Frizzell and offered him a contract. He's reached out to some people he knows. He says it's a dodgy rumour about David Clemmer. We'll see.
Yeah, still, it's strange, isn't it?
I mean, early days. But he would be somebody who would add a bit of grunt into that middle, wouldn't he? And you know, we've seen, haven't we, Willie Peters is not afraid to do things that nobody expected if it means bringing in better players to better the squad and better the side.
Absolutely. And like, it might be a dodgy rumour. Obviously, Baz has been the Newcastle reporter for probably since I was born, wasn't he? In the early 2000s, he was that as well. But I mean, I wouldn't tear my nose down at Clemmer. Obviously, he's at West now, isn't he? He's only 30, you know, played for New South Wales a few years back. And yeah, him and Jared Warrior agrees in the front row. You know, match review panel would be spying over Rovers every week, wouldn't they, with them two? But they definitely had more grunt. But yeah, let's wait and see on that one as well. But it is silly season. And obviously, we haven't even finished there, have we? There's been more outgoings and, you know, little brother borrowing from their friends from the East.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's great to see Rovers doing the bit for the rest of rugby league, isn't it, by propping up some of these struggling sides, and we've all offered almost an olive branch to that lot across the river, haven't we? Yusuf Aydin signing on a 2-week loan deal. I mean, fundamentally, it's a Rovers player who's going to get Super League game time. Joe, although, you know, hopefully he doesn't have that great an impact where he stops from actually getting hammered 50 points every game. It's still great that he's going to get the opportunity to play Super League rugby.
It's a really strange one, isn't it? Because you look at it now when you go, yeah, he's going to Hull. But when you break it down, you go, it's just the same as him going to Cass or London at the bottom of the table, innit? And that's not me biting. That's not me trying to get bites. I know I have on Twitter and I've had a few replies and that. It's all fun and games. But I don't know. Even like when Abdul signed for us on loan in the Championship, I know a lot of Hull fans who I know saying they didn't like it then. It is weird, isn't it? You'd never really get an Everton player going to Liverpool on loan or a Man City player going to Man U on loan, no matter where they were in the table. Yeah, you know, he's going to play against Leeds and Warrington. I don't know.
Well, to be honest, Joe, I mean, as great as to see them like get pumped 50-odd points every week, if Yusuf Aydin's contribution over the next couple of weeks was to help that lot come up with two victories against Leeds and Warrington and
and help us out in the playoff race, then
exactly. You know. If you look at that, and but then that's another one, isn't it? He's off contract now, and you know he's going on loan to FC, and that there's you know, if you, I'm not saying he isn't going, but he's off contract. If he goes as well, then that's another middle gone. Do you know what I mean? Going back to our earlier point, but good luck to him. You know, like I said, it might not be 50 now, and they might get it down to 30, but yeah, he'll get some good minutes there. Obviously, they've signed a few players this week. They're trying to transition, aren't they? And as much as it is going to the biggest rivals, let's just say, you know, he's playing 40, 50 minutes in Super League, and that's more than he'll be getting if he was just sat in the stands at Craven Park. And yeah, as much as it's weird seeing him, a Rovers player in black and white, you know, it's the modern game, and it players need minutes, and let's not try and get too carried away with it. And, you know.
Yeah, Badger 85, who's watching on YouTube, look, mate, I know it is silly season. There's rumours flying everywhere, but apparently we're linked with Brad Fash.
More chance of me pulling my boots back on and playing. As you know, Brad Fash is, you know, what we are for all KI. He's a diehard black and white. I think his dad would disown him. He's got a 4-year deal at Hull. If he signs for Rovers, then I was going to say I'd eat my hat, but yeah. I won't even do that.
And there's a reason why a lot of Rovers fans call him Brad Gash as well. So we'll leave that one there. Some more transfer dealings, Joe, although it's a player not departing just yet. It was announced earlier that Ryan Hall will be leaving Hull Kingston Rovers coming the end of the season. He signed a 1-year deal at the Leeds Rhinos before moving into their commercial department to take up a role there. Willie Peters said in his press conference this week he had a good chat with Ryan Hall about it, and basically Ryan Hall's been set up for the next 4 or 5 years once his playing days are over with a job at the Rhinos. So you know you can see why he's took that move on. I mean, he's been a fantastic, absolutely fantastic servant, has he, Joe, to the Robins. He's been a player who has lifted the club, has demonstrated what it is to be professional, how to look after yourself, and he's been an absolute trailblazer for the Robins, and it is sad to see him go, although I do think, Joe, it's probably the right time for us.
Agree with everything you've just said there, mate. I've run out of compliments for the bloke. What he's done in these 4 seasons, you know, yes, like he said, currently I've not won anything, but this team is in such a better place than it was when he signed Ed in 2021. He's been great to watch. You know, 10 years ago, you'd have said, you know, you'd have seen Kenny Dowell and Buddy Ryan all on the left edge in a Rover shirt. You'd have laughed at them, wouldn't you? And I think both have done great things. That left edge with Lynette as well. It was magical, wasn't it, for a few seasons. The old Codgers, as they got called a few times. And yeah, for me, you have no qualms about him, do they? Look, he's a Leeds lad. He's a massive Leeds Rhinos fan. He's a massive Leeds United fan. Still lives in the area. He wasn't getting a deal at Rovers. Leeds have given him a job and they've given him another year. He can't turn it down. It's a fairy tale, isn't it? He's like, you know, if I don't even know that for a Leeds Rhinos point of view, they'll be buzzing from a legend's coming back. There has been questions, aren't they? And I totally understand. He's still doing so many good things for Rovers, but like you said, mate, it is the right time. And I think Saturday showed as well, and that Omar Hanley trial showed. There's no thingy in this. He's 36, 37 soon. He is going to slow down. He's going to make little mistakes. Everybody does. And I think if Rovers wasn't signing who they were signing next year to replace him, then at the minute you'd be going, oh, we need a world-class winger now, or we need a great winger. But because the plans are already in place and the wheels are in motion, I do feel like we've seen the best of Ryan Hall in a Rovers shirt. I think he's going to move on, and he'll have a little cameo season at Leeds, and he'll do some good things there for them back line. But for me, yeah, I'm not disappointed that he's going, if that makes sense. As much as I am, and I've loved him seeing play for Rovers, and I'm still loving him play for Rovers. You know, he carries out of the yardage, his communication, the way he represents the club, the way he speaks about the club is second to none. But with, you know, Joe Baird just hopefully here for a few more years, them lads who we've already spoke about, Tom Davis coming in, it's now the right time. And do you know what? I'm glad he gets his fairy tale at Leeds, because he's probably wanted it. He deserves to go out at Headingley. You know, he's a legend there. He's a great player for Rovers, and we wish him all the best. And hopefully he surpasses the record in red and white. I'm sure he will, because he's got plenty of games left before he moves on. But yeah, best of luck to him. He's been brilliant to watch, and hopefully he doesn't score against us next season. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing Davis, you know, in red and white next year as well. But that's for another day. It's time to, you know, just cherish every moment you get watching Ryan Hall play for Rovers, because he's been a great servant and he'll continue to do so, won't he? Even though he signed for Leeds, his head now is saying, I want to end on a high, and he's already said that. He will strive and continue to put them performances in. And you know what? Obviously, from a selfish point of view, we all want to win something for Rovers, but I feel like it'd be outstanding and what he deserved if he went and won the Challenge Cup or ended up getting to a grand final with his team. But fingers crossed he gets to do that.
Yeah, I mean, we saw last season, unfortunately, we couldn't get over the line for Sean Kennedy-Dowell, could we, upon his retirement. And hopefully, you know, with Ryan Hall, we are able to go that one step further at the end of the season. I mean, their meters are going to be so hard to replace. Obviously, you know, Tom Davis coming in, different type of player, but, you know, that's one for the future. And all I say about Ryan Hall is he's somebody that everybody loves, whether you're a kid, woman, bloke, you know, the blokes want to be him. The girls want to be with him, and the kids look up to him, don't they? He's just somebody who's a consummate professional, and like with my lad, when I say, you know, I know we shouldn't always use sports people as icons and idols and all that, but when I say to him about what to look for in a rugby player and how to conduct yourself if you want to be a rugby player, look at Ryan Hall. You know, just look at what he does, how he goes about his business. It's going to be a shame when he goes, but there's still plenty more games left to go, Joe. Wigan Warriors up next on Friday night, and that's on the back of a disappointing defeat at the hands of the Catalan Dragons.
It is. It's a perfect game to bounce back in it. Let's not feel sorry for ourselves. I've seen people going, oh, Wigan at home, you know, let's just see what happens. Yeah, they're the world champions. Yeah, they're the best team in this comp. But come on, you don't win a rugby game by showing people respect. You shake their hands after the game. But when come game time, this is the team that we beat twice last season. You know, I know they've added a few and so have we, but we've shown we can beat them because they was at the Pomp last year as well. And I'm looking forward to it. You don't know what Rovers are going to turn up. Wigan at times haven't been amazing. Yeah, they're unbeaten, but I think even last week against Castleford, I watched bits of it. Obviously, I was in France, and but they wasn't amazing. And don't get me wrong, they're a fantastic team, and I'm not saying we're better than them, because it's realistically we're not at the moment. But can we beat them? Of course we can. Do we need a kick up our backside after what we did in France? Yeah, of course we do, but perfect chance to do it against the best team accordingly in the comp, who are going to wipe the floor with everybody, who you've got in 4 weeks time to get to Wembley again at Craven Park on a Friday night. I think it's going to be a great game. Let's just get at them. Obviously, you know, Bevan French is their danger man. They've got plenty of talent all around the field. They've got an aggressive pack. But if you want to be the best, like I said on Saturday when we got beat, we know the standards you've got to get to. If you want to be this top four team and you want to be beating the Wigan Saints and Catalans, then you've got to stand up and be counted for. And I think obviously we've had a steady start to the season, but it'd be great to get a big scalp now, because I know plenty of people already, like they do in rugby league, are writing Rovers off after one big defeat. Obviously, it was against a team who were above us, and everyone was waiting for this little period, but it's only one defeat. You know, it's no time to panic. No doom and gloom from me at the moment. Catalan was crap. Let's move on. Let's welcome Wigan. And I know both teams, as much as they like playing each other, they really respect each other. Willie Peters and Matty Pete, you know, really good friends. Obviously, Matty Pete speaks so fondly of the Robins. But come Friday, you know, they'll be going hammer and tong at it. And I think it's going to be a cracker. Really do.
Yeah, and for you, Joe, what are Rovers going to have to do different to what they did in Catalan to when they take on Wigan? Because, you know, that first half over in Perpignan was really disappointing, wasn't it? They got themselves back into the game in the second half, but then conceded two late tries, and the scoreline probably reflected how dominant the Dragons was for the course of the 80 minutes. What's got to change on Friday night?
Well, I think what you can't do is concede two tries like you did down the middle, Mickey Max and Desiree. You know, they are going to have chances. They're going to be on the front foot for a lot of the game. You cannot allow sloppy tries. I think in defence, we've got to have more energy. We were missing tackles, was losing the ruck. You do that against Field and French, they'll absolutely have you for dinner. In attack, obviously, you'd imagine with Reynolds not being in the... Oh, he's banned anyhow, isn't he? Sorry, that's my fault. But obviously, with Mikey being included, you'd imagine he'd play. If not, will it be a debut for Jack Broadbent in the arse? But apparently, Mikey's ready to go. We need more energy. We need more moves, you know, set play moves. I think what we was guilty of on Saturday was we'd get from Jez and Parcell at the ruck, we'd pass it to Mini or we'd pass it to a forward. We'd have a Valds, Taro May and have a Hickey or Opacek ready and we'd dummy and just go take another settler. We weren't using our wings and when we was getting it out wide, we hit Bear just once and he scored out the back and then the rest of the time we kept it in the front, man. We kept it in Iku and Opacek and it just won't work. And I feel like we've got to be a little bit smarter in the way we play because as much as this unstructured work is happening for us sometimes, when you come unstuck and you're just throwing the ball out your backside like we was in Catalan, teams can just easily read you, especially of the calibre of Wigan's and the Dragons. And I feel like I'd like Taro May to do a little bit more. I think, I won't say he went hard in on Saturday, but I don't think he helped his players. I don't think he helped the halfback and I thought the kicking game was non-existent. Obviously, you take Mikey out the equation, but there are going to be times when Mikey can't play. We can't just be thinking if he's not playing, then it's gone to pot. We just have to rely on someone else. It's a team game and I'm hoping this is the kick, you know, the reality check, isn't it? You have plenty of reality checks throughout the season. What you can't do is you can't allow it to happen back to back, and especially if you're letting trials back to back as well, because that killed us. I think by the time I'd walked up the stairs to downstairs to go get another token to buy a beer, that scored 18 points. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen on Friday night. But yeah, let's wait and see. Rovers need to come out the box fire and let's get behind them. You know, it's one defeat, it's not the end of the world, and we've got a massive 4 or 5 weeks ahead of us. And it starts on Friday. So yeah, really looking forward to it, and it should be a good following from Wigan as well. You know, let's wait and see. But I'm still positive, I'm still tipping Rovers. Was just
yeah. Well, one thing that we'll have to do, Dojo, is improve on the defence, wasn't it? I mean, a couple of startling stats from the game: missed tackles, 17 missed tackles by Catalan, 59 missed tackles from the Robins.
Yeah, that's awful.
Tackle busts. The Robins made 17 tackle busts. Catalan made 59 tackle busts. And to be fair, in some of the stats, are quite even completion rate. You know, there was on par with each other, 78%. But there was just getting bullied, weren't they, down the middle? And so often Catalan got the roll on him, and you know, just didn't give Rovers chance to almost get a foot in the game, did they? So, you know, but like Willie Peters said, there's no better game to go and prove the doubt was wrong than the Wigan Warriors on Friday night, and a victory against Wigan had certainly get everybody more eyes on Old Kingston Rovers again, wouldn't it? Because I think some of the allegations towards Rovers is that, you know, we're able to meet some of the lower league teams or mid-table teams, but when it comes to the business end, that's where we falter. We're a little bit like flat-track bullies. But I still think there's plenty more to come from this Rovers side. And we are still in an important run of games, aren't we? Of course, we just played Catalan. We've got Wigan up next. We take on Saints and Warrington before the Challenge Cup semi-final. And you know, I do think we need to see better than what we saw at Catalan, but Joe, for whatever reason, it don't matter who the coach is, who the player is, don't matter what time of year it is, it doesn't matter whether it's Challenge Cup as a semi-final or a league game. For whatever reason, when we go to Perpignan, when the Robins go there, they just do not put in a performance, do they? Very rarely. I think only 4 times we've won in Perpignan, the last time 2019. And Willie Peters have talked about how well they're trained, the preparation was great. You know, and nobody can put a finger on why the Robins are unable to come away with a victory on more occasions, other than Catalan are just being so good for us.
Another crazy stat, I think. I have played, reported and watched Rovers as a fan, or as at Catalan, played for the academy, reported on them and done all that. 11 times, I've never won in any of them games.
Well,
never.
Joe, are you starting to think that maybe the problem might be you?
I think so. I think I don't go next year and it's 6-0 at half-time to Rovers. And I think the only time I have seen was in Toulouse, when they played Catalan in Toulouse. So that doesn't even count. But yeah, it's a really tough place. It is a tough place to go. It is, but you go the day before and it's a 2-hour flight. I know it's in a different country. It's hostile. But honestly, from a fan point of view, I thought that was one of the worst atmospheres I've been at a Catalan game. It was very subdued. It didn't help the rugby union team. I think the UTC, whatever they're called, there was in one of like the French semi-final, 2 mile down the road, and there was 15,000 there. So obviously there was split numbers because a lot of people follow both. But yeah, it's that old narrative. In it, you go to Catalan, but teams have done it, and we just seem to come unstuck, and we never just get beat, do we? We get our asses handed to us, and it's so frustrating. You know, it doesn't say whatever plan we do, if we fly over on the day, if we go 2 days before, if we went over a week before, it still seems to be in the same outcome. But on the flip side, you look at all the pundits, what they're saying, the neutrals, Catalan produce their game of the season. Sometimes you come up against a team who are ready for you, and obviously they got dumped out the Challenge Cup, shockingly, by Huddersfield the week before. They was ready for the fight, weren't they? And ultimately, we just couldn't match it, and you do get them games. You've got to brush it under the carpet as such. You've got to move on, learn your lessons, and not let it sting for too long. But it did sting at the time. You know, a lot of Rovers fans went over. It's not cheap, and it was a disappointing game. But we back them again, and we go, because that's what you do, don't you, as a fan? Yeah. You know, you can't dwell on it too much, and they've got to prove a point now. And hopefully that starts on Friday against the world champs.
Yeah, maybe next season, Joe, I might start up a crowdfunding page, not to help you to get to pay a pignon, but to keep you in this country.
If you get a few hundred quid, and I'll stay at home and watch it on telly.
There's going to be a few changes in the lineup, I expect, on Friday against Wigan. The 21-man squad's been released. Salso Suhi returns after his one-match ban. Reece Butterworth comes into the squad, as does new signing Jack Broadbent. They're coming in place of Tom Opacic. He misses out. He's got a shoulder injury. Ben Reynolds, he misses out. He's suspended after copping a ban for dissent whilst out on loan at Featherstone. And, of course, you know what's happened with Yusuf Aydin. He's gone and joined that lot for a couple of weeks. So he's not in the squad. I mean, Joe, pretty straight swapping it, Gildart for Opacic. And it'd be great to see him link up with Ryan Hall again. In the forward line, you're expecting, obviously, Sue's come back in. Interestingly, George King, he only got one spell, didn't he, against Catalan. So we're probably going to see more of him against Wigan. You're not expecting major changes, are you, Joe?
No, I think King will start on the bench just because he likes to start with Whitbread and Sue, doesn't he? With Hadley at back row and Batchelor, and obviously Tangano are on the bench, probably with Sam Luckley, I'd go with. Although Sam hasn't been great this season. I know he had that injury, but he's been struggling a little bit. So it's a toss-up between him and Matty Staughton. But again, I think if you are looking long-term, I know this is probably not looking in the here and now, but for me, I think they're beating on par Staughton and Luckley. Luckley's here for a long time, isn't he? So I feel like you need to keep playing him, because last season he was great for us, and it does take a while sometimes for middles to get into the groove. You know, he missed a lot, not if all, did he, the pre-season. He was doing it on his own after that ankle surgery, and his offload game can be quite vital. If you're on the front foot behind Jez, Mikey and Matt Parcell, you know, we scored a few trials like that, didn't we, last season against Wigan through the offload game. So yeah, not too many changes. Obviously, there's no need to. And then Mikey, are you back in for Ben Reynolds as well, which we didn't mention. So a bit of fluidity there. But yeah, and then obviously we're going to welcome him back. I think, is it Harvey Hill or Ethan Havard and Jai Field? So you'd expect Field to link up again. French back in the team. So it's going to be a tough encounter. Two nearly fully fit squads, and that's what you want, don't you? You want to play them at the best. Let's see where we're at, and let's see what response we get.
Yeah, it's going to be a real humdinger on Friday night, I think. Just the last couple of things, Joe. What have you made of Salso Su's start to the season?
Strange. I think his stats don't back. I come away from games thinking he's done all right there, but you look at stats and sometimes he's in the 40, 50 metre mark, isn't he? And I just feel that's not enough for a prop. I like,
you know what, Joe, as well? How lean does he look?
He's a different if you look at the photo of him last season, I know he's changed his hair and that, he looks a different bloke.
Yeah, because he looks like he's shredded a few pounds.
Yeah, some things he does I really like, but if you're thinking of a quarter and the money and everything like that, I think he's got to do more meters wise. You look at, I'm not comparing this to the NRL, but some NRL middles make nearly 200, you know, and he's sometimes making 50. And a lot of our props do sometimes, you know, you can tell when we're on the back foot because we never get rarely any players in three figures. And maybe that's just a collective thought. But yeah, for me, I think he's a steady player. I think he's all right. I don't think he's a world beater. And we speak about forwards, don't we? And if we're losing some and that's my only worry, because we've got some steady props. I don't think we've got amazing ones.
No, and lastly, I mean, the Catalan game, Joe, highlighted for me just how important Mikey Lewis is to that side, just in terms of his go forward, his ability to almost carry the team with him to get his field position, and his aggression and his... I don't know, the speed he plays the game almost dictates to the Robins how they play, and I do think it was a huge loss. Ben Reynolds, of course, we know, is a different type of player, completely different type of player, and I don't necessarily think he had that bad a game, to be fair, against Catalan.
I thought him and Joe Baird just were our two best players.
Yeah, I thought Reynolds was there. He said he kept us ticking over. Like you said, a different player to Mikey, but it's going to be great to see him on back on Friday night. Woody Peters has said that he's pretty much there, ready to play, and I do think he's going to have a pivotal role to play on Friday night.
Yeah, he's the heartbeat of the team, isn't he? You know, let's not forget about his age and that as well, but he makes us tick, and I don't think we'd have beat Catalan, even if Mikey had played, because Catalan were red hot, but would have put in a better performance and would have had more attacking options. He is turning into that leader now, isn't he? And you do realise how much you miss him. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it, I think, especially from an England point of view as well. I know not many people are asked about international scene, but for me, I think obviously George Williams is the captain. The other two players, the other two options who can be his number seven are either Mikey or Harry Smith. We'll see them both up against each other twice in the next 4 weeks. Let's see who grabs the game by the scruff of its neck, because I bet Sean Wayne will be watching, because there's not many other options in the house apart from these two to go with Williams.
Yeah, and let's be honest, Joe, he probably watches every Wigan game. so he'll definitely be having eyes on Mikey as well. Joe, always a pleasure. Huge thanks for you joining me on this podcast. The voice has just held up about, so I'm ready to go for a lem sip and some lemon and honey, I think, now.
Too right, mate. No, you did fine. You won't like that 12-year-old boy who you mentioned at the start.
Right, if you're heading to the game on Friday night, make sure you are loud and proud. It's heading for another sellout, which is fantastic. Huge credit to the Robin supporters for turning out in big numbers. Remember to back the boys. This is the Robin Pod Weekly, which is powered by Budget Tyres Auto Centre, the only car specialist trusted by the players, club officials and supporters of Hull Kingston Rovers.